really cool intro started. And then Tom Fish, the fish man, showed up, and we ended up having to change microphones and cords and inputs and everything else. So it's me, it's Robert, it's the fish. So we're going to try and get started here and actually do a fishing report.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty good fishing reports, too.
Yeah, the weird part about it is, fish actually, well, you fished a little bit, but not like fish usually fishes.
Yeah, I've been off the water a little bit. Been doing a lot less here the last couple of months due to circumstances that are,
family issues.
Yeah, family issues that you gotta take care of.
But, Steph, you're going through, and we all are going through.
Yeah.
Robert's having some similar things with his mom, and
yep.
So.
But you know, it's part of it. So you work through it, and you get it.
You do the best you can.
That's it.
I hope it works out as well as possible.
Well, the ones that come with you on the other end of it are the ones you want anyhow. It's a call factor.
Yeah.
Well, and the good news is, even though you haven't been fishing as much, you still network yourself where you talk to your buddies every day who are running charters, so you are still in the loop and kind of have some good ideas on what's been biting where and stuff like that. So
absolutely.
I mean, because it's similar to us. You know, we don't get to fish every day, but we get reports every day from regular customers and captains, and most of the time they're pretty darn accurate.
That's the best part of it, too. You know, when you have a network that'll go back and forth, and you can trust, like the Fish and Frank Fishing Report, you know, you're getting good top information, you know, and you can use it.
Well, hopefully it all works out that way.
Well.
So, we're going to see what we can do. Peace River. Anything going on Peace River?
A lot of juvenile tarpon up there. From Harbor Heights all the way up to even above the Navigator, getting some reports of even a few bigger fish, like in the 60-80 pound range. And then the spill dam there at Shell Creek's been flowing pretty steady. I mean, it has its good days, bad days, but snook have been stacked up there fairly regularly, along with a lot of juvenile tarpon. A couple guys have caught some bass there, and then a lot of gar hanging around. So if you just want to have fun, those gar can be an absolute blast. You know, just a cut chunk of mullet, or even a frozen pilchard about 6 inches to a foot below a bobber, and throw it out there and wait. They're way underrated for just fishing for fun.
Oh, gar. I used to make a lot of money catching gar, because people, they don't get to catch 3-4 foot fish very often, especially with a whole mouthful of teeth. And
armor plating.
Armor plated, big mouthful of teeth. And I would just freshwater shiner, or even a white bait sometime, and I just put them right through the dorsal with about a 3 or 4 aught wide gap hook. And when the gar get it, would go to bite on it, the hook wraps his jaw. It's not even a hook set. It just literally goes around his jaw, and he gets stuck on it.
Lassoed.
Yeah, he gets into that wide gap hook, and he's stuck there. And that's the best way to get him, because otherwise you're literally fighting trying to get hook sets in him, which is almost impossible.
Right.
How's the river actually flowing?
There's
no water level out.
What happened to your mic? All of a sudden it was going so good. And
leave it to me to mess it up.
No, hang on.
Something just popped a little bit.
Yeah, something popped.
There we go.
No?
Nope. No, I think it's down here on this end.
All right, well, there I am.
There you are.
Okay. So, my question was, how is the river? Is it flowing compared, or are we high, or is it moving fast? Or we haven't had that much rain, have we?
Fishandfranks.com. Click the weather and tide button. Bottom of the page. I'm actually doing it while I'm saying it. Arcadia Peace River button. And instantaneous value is 724 cubic feet a second. And it's running about 3.5 foot at the moment. Now, that will go up a little bit because there's some rains up by Orlando. But that's going to give a little bit of light tint to the water, but there's not a lot of water movement down the river. Once you hit 1,000 cubic feet per second, then you've actually got some good water flowing down.
And what this means is when that water flows down, all the trash and stuff comes with it that they can eat, and pushes things around, and it livens, for me, where I fish up there, it livens it up a bunch.
Yeah. Well, usually I figure once it hits 7 foot, that's when we're getting a lot of that stuff actually can't yep. keep with the current and comes down.
Yep.
But at 3.5 foot, there's not enough water flow to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be well over 5 usually.
So that was good bass fishing against the banks and those back creeks and tributaries, isn't it?
Yeah.
Smoke and red, everything's laid up in there. Oh, it's not pulling too hard.
Did you see the guy who got the, I'm guessing, 40-inch snook out of Cecil Webb?
No, I didn't see that.
Really?
That picture we saw this morning, were you there? Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you were there. Mm-hmm. The guy had a picture on his phone. I said, where the heck did you catch that? It was Cecil Webb.
Really?
Cut out of the ponds.
Really?
And I swear to God, I would say conservatively 38 inches.
You know, in Irma, Cecil Webb flooded over.
Right.
The whole thing went in there and it came out and went all the way from
Alligator Creek.
The Sawgrass. Yeah, Alligator Creek did it. Also, the river did too, coming across 74. Peace yeah. River, the Shell Creek, wherever it was. It came from both ways, so I'm sure a lot of stuff moved there too.
It was just, and he said he was throwing a spinnerbait, slow rolling for bass, and he says, I'm going to go home. And he had stopped for a second and said, I'm done for the day. He just started cranking it just to get it in because he was going home. And he said, and all of a sudden, I got a wall. And then the wall moved.
Nice.
And he's holding up. I said, what was that, 38? He says, I don't know. I didn't have anything to measure with. And I said, bud, dollar bill is 6 inches long. You almost always have at least a dollar yeah. bill in your pocket.
Right.
You
know? Great tip. Great advice.
Any American currency is, you know, 6 inches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 6, 12, 18, you know, you can get at least a rough guesstimate. But just by looking at him, how he was holding it, I'm pretty good at that.
Don't
give it 40 inches, you know, an inch or two either way. So,
that's awesome.
Pretty impressive. Big fish out of Cecil Webb.
That's huge. That's really impressive.
All right.
Always like when you get those fish that catch you off guard that are in those random spots. That what are you doing here?
Absolutely.
Right. Moving down to I-75.
A lot more juvenile tarpon as you get there. The mainly in the center span, but they are catching them on both the north side and the south side, and within 100, 200 yards either direction of it. And then the black drum also have been doing fair, and a handful of juvenile snook. And I've also heard of a couple of redfish in the lower slot limit size, especially on that north end. One guy caught 2 trout up there last week, but he worked really hard to catch 2 of them. But he said they were 18, 20 inches. He just likes catching them because of how brown they are normally up there. No matter what time of year it is, those fish always have that little bit more of that stain to them, so they're a lot more spectacular looking as far as I'm concerned. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's neat to see the different coloring. The exact same fish way up on the river has his set of colors, and you get that same fish right on the, you know, in Boca Grande Pass or in Gasparilla Sound, and it's a completely different color. You wouldn't even recognize the same fish.
Right. Now, around that same area, I've seen some guides that have caught some sawfish, too, some juvenile sawfish. I don't know if you've had those pictures come in or the people come through here, but they've caught some juvenile sawfish around the, I think it was the north side.
Yeah, that's always pretty interesting. That is kind of known little bit of a nursery up there.
Well, the vast majority of sawfish I've ever seen caught are caught between 41 and 75 on the Punta Gorda side. That flat there, it's a big, long, shallow flat, and used to have a lot of grass on it. We're starting to get more grass, so you're seeing some more fish over there. It's a peculiar thing over there, but that southern shoreline, they seem to cruise up. Now, same thing with the cobia. They used to be on that flat all the time.
Right.
I think it's where the blue crabs come down.
Yep.
You know, and...
All with that current.
Yeah. So, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has got some pretty decent-sized snook on it, especially early in the mornings. They've been doing fairly well on them. And then the tarpon of assorted sizes, mostly at night and in the early mornings. And then there's been a handful of bull sharks, mostly small guys in that, you know, 3 foot range, basically this year's pups. And then a occasional big black drum. You know, there's been some pretty steady streams of black drum all around all the pilings there, but the majority of what I'm seeing in photographs and hear about
did
are
all
big
fish. Did you see that little
girl?
Her and her dad were in. I was helping them,
oh, yeah.
You know, rigging up and...
Yeah.
She came in with a picture of her laying next to the black drum she caught. It was as big as her.
I didn't see the picture.
Yeah, her and her dad were, they were all excited because it's, I'm pretty sure it was her first fish.
Wow, and top of that.
Yeah, they were, you know, they had been in and we were talking about how to catch fish and what to do and, you know, that and the people coming in, they wanting pictures with us and, you know, okay, you know, and there's things with the Fish and Frank thing and it's just, it's been crazy, but they came in to make sure I saw that picture because they were so excited because I forget what I gave them to catch it with, but,
that's,
you know.
That's perfect.
I do have an actual reporter out there.
What's that?
I do have an actual report around
the bridge there.
Okay.
It's I saw a bunch of bait driving over the bridge.
All right. So I got it backed off. That
I'm backing off.
No. I just got to buy another board. This one is just so between all the personal habits I have and the dust, it's just trashed.
So I've seen driving over back and forth. So I have seen bait. Good bait schools, it looks like. Threadfins out there, sardines perhaps, but
yeah, most of it's threadfins.
I haven't been into it, I haven't caught any or anything like that, but I've been able to see them. Of course, you know, when you go over the bridge, you're always looking for a tarpon to roll or birds to dive or something. And you see the little black spots out there, so it kind of makes sense.
So you're never like me. Every time I go over that bridge, staring at the water, looking at that. I'm always, you know, I got to keep one eye on the road, look at the water, at the water. Okay, back on the road. It's my texting because I don't text when I drive. I pull off side of the road, I'll text. And, you know, I don't read text when I'm driving.
I'm the guy that's honking at the bait. So the joggers, I'm the one honking at the bait. That bait's cool. That's a bait.
Staring at the water the whole time. I don't know. All right. Getting over to Lashley Pier.
A handful of mangrove snapper. A couple of trout. A couple of whiting. Same thing with a couple of small bull sharks. And then the snook in the early mornings and in the evenings, especially closer to the shallow end and by the marina basin there. And then there's also still been a few black drum. Most of those black drum there have been a little bit smaller, but still usually over that 20-pound range that I've been hearing about lately.
Has anybody been catching, or is there any reports of the juvenile Goliath groupers on the Tire Reef out there off of Hog Island? Usually this is the time of year. Of course, it's flowing usually, and Hog Island has the cutoff coming through and blowing out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But usually this time of year when that water starts moving down through there, I think it's kind of a whirl in there. Makes that.
I think it's a little bit of a whirlpool.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it, too, is the four pilings that are there.
Well,
it's
of course.
The only structure in miles, and the reef sunk under water years ago or sunk under the mud.
Yep.
But I said, why don't they just let us keep piling stuff on? As it sinks, put a little bit more on.
Sure.
Sinks, put a little bit more on. Well, it's sunk into the mud. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
But the mud is only 14 feet deep. Once we put some more stuff on, we will hit the right depth.
Eventually. Exactly. Eventually, you will bring the concrete above it.
That would make sense, though.
Yeah, but
that's true.
Yeah, that and what part of FWC makes sense anymore?
Right.
You know, if they can't figure a way of making money from it or disrupting somebody's life, yeah. All right, Bay Shore Pier, anything going on there?
Well, yeah, a couple small black tip sharks, a couple of small bull sharks, and then there's been, what is he catching? He hooked two cobia but broke him off next to the pier. So it's at least a couple of feedback because it's been a while since we've gotten Bay Shore reports.
And that's impressive that the cobia are getting to the sides and the shallower waters around the piers and stuff instead of staying in the mainstream with the heat. The water temperature has to be up there. Do you know what the water temperature is in the bay?
93 to 95 on the flats.
Ooh, that's hot. You get in the back bay, you're over 100.
Bait's dying.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're hungry. They're looking, but they're searching out there for.
There is. The pathway they take when they come up, as they come up towards the bridge, they make that swing around Bayshore, either entering or leaving the 41 area. They'll come in on one part, but then they'll make the swing on Bayshore because, like I try and explain to people who are listening, is that they don't stick their head out of the water and look and say, okay, I'm here. They kind of get up to an area and either it gets a little fresh or something happens or they start getting by the pilings. And as they turn, they're going to go until the water shallows up real bad and then they turn again. And because they're not sticking their head out of water looking around, if you can imagine snorkeling underwater, that's kind of what you're seeing. So that's why those fish end up in that bayshore area, because it's just kind of a catch basin down there for any fish coming up. So irrespective, out there in that 4 to 6 foot of water, it's just on the edge of where they want to go. You're not going to see them on that 2 foot during the day. It's just too hot. But in that 4 to 6 out there, oh yeah. Port Charlotte canals.
A lot of big black drum. Quite a few small snook. The jacks have still been in there off and on. And then the juvenile tarpon have been popping up all over the place the last several days. Haven't had much else for mangrove snapper or anything else, but the juvenile tarpon have been kind of the exciting part, because I've had quite a few customers. I've lived there for 8 years and I haven't seen tarpon back here, and now they're seeing them. So some of the oddball canals are holding some of those fish.
All right, Elgin Bean Pier.
Elgin Bean's been really good in the evenings and at night for some catch and release snook, some juvenile tarpon, a few mangrove snapper, and then during the daytime it's been some bigger mangrove snapper at first light. Lots of juvenile tarpon around the bridge, especially on the harbor side of the bridges. And then I've heard of a few baby jewfish, Goliath grouper, along with the black drum also. Seems like the black drum are kind of definitely a theme this week for a lot of different places and of decent sizes. It's been pretty good. The cool part is people are catching them on so many different things, not just the crabs. They catch them on shrimp. A couple of people catching them on cut bait. One guy got a nice one on pinfish the other day. Just a live pinfish while he's trying to fish for snook over there in PGI. He got one that was about, I don't know, I'd have to guess high 30s, maybe even 40 pounds.
All right, Mac River area. Cut off, Tippy, the river.
Some bigger tarpon heading up towards the 41 bridge on the Myakka. And then there's also been quite a few tarpon scattered from the 41 or from the 776 bridge all the way down to the mouth, along with a handful of small bull sharks, black tips, and a few sightings of cobia. And then over there at Tippy Canoe in the north end of the Myakka cutoff, I'm still getting a handful of reports of some snook and a couple of small redfish. But it's been so hot, a lot of guys have not been focusing on fishing in there that much this past week.
It's hot. When you get that heat, it's 90-something degrees coming down, and it hits that boat or that water, and it bounces back up. You get it twice. So yeah, you'd like to get out in that deeper water, or somewhere where you can get a breeze, too. If you get in those mangroves and blocks a breeze off of you, it's brutal.
Yeah, it gets a little miserable. South Gulf Cove canals.
Mayan cichlids, been a few bass fishermen back in there. And then the juvenile tarpon and some snook back in there also. But the Mayan cichlids and the bass have been the two big things. The one guy actually started catching a lot of Mayan cichlids on the worms because he was having a hard time catching them otherwise. His usual old faithful little beetle spins and stuff like that. So he just switched over and he caught even one triple tail, geez, tilapia.
Nice.
Yeah, that place goes in spurts. We'll hear
the triple
guys
tail have been good this year.
Yeah,
from what I've been hearing, I kind of missed the triple tail season, but they were bouncing pretty hard out there. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a lot of people were catching them. And then the funny thing was, it was a lot of different places. Some were catching them on the grass flats, some were catching them on structure like rocks or the artificial reef, not around pilings, you know, just on the actual structure itself. And then of course the buoys, crab traps and things like that, but they were kind of all over.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that's how I always used to get them. And I used to have customers that came every year, and because I was known for, you know, 30 inch triple tail, and I could produce them regularly at certain times of the year, and I never fished any of the normal places, and that was my secret, is finding that they weren't just in and this. You could go to a lot of other ways, and oh my gosh. And I mean, I have pictures of a triple tail that high and that
sure
long. Huge. The west wall, what's going on?
The upper end is pretty quiet, but as you get from the halfway point down, some snook. and redfish, and they're all way up underneath the bushes. So you better make a good cast up underneath the bushes. Cut bait, shrimp, cut mullet, cut ladyfish, and then cut pinfish have been all working pretty well on them. And then out on top of the bar, there has still been a few pompano that people have been skipping. And then the been some tarpon on the outside of the bar in that 4 to 8 feet of water range. Haven't heard of any of the juveniles yet, but those fish should be moving on the inside of that bar any day now. You know, that's always fun on your snook tackle.
Well, the cool thing is, did you know I'm actually becoming an internet sensation?
Yeah.
For my misspellings.
Well, we all have our knack, you know.
I was trying to write, you know, man-made docs, and I replaced the O with an I and other things. My grammar and misspellings and stuff are being tweeted and tormented and, you know, Instagrammed and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it's, people are getting text of, did you see what he wrote? I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah.
It wasn't intentional.
Hey.
Speak and spell.
Still getting out there.
Yeah, speak and spell. That's what I need. I need a little speak and spell. Apple. A-A. Oh, no. See, I can't even listen to the speak and spell. All right. K-Pays.
Those are fun. Let's see. Some sharks, mostly some small black tips, a few bulls, been a couple bigger lemon sharks. The pompano have been there also. And then the occasional tarpon on the south side of Cape Hayes. Had a couple reports of a few Spanish mackerel and a few ladyfish early in the mornings on top of the bar. And then the snook are still pretty consistent there between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay up there against the shoreline. Other than that, I haven't heard much else with any other critters over there.
Okay. It gets bad when I can't even read what I typed. All right. Bull Bay and Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay and Bull Bay still got a few bigger nurse sharks and lemon sharks moving around inside of them, along with the occasional bull or black tip. And then there's been quite a few snook at the mouths of those bays. You know, Gallagher's Cut, the main entrance into Bull Bay, the back entrance where the clam leases are at. And then there's been a handful of redfish way up underneath the bushes and some of those deeper pockets back in there. And then they've still been getting a few decent sized mangrove snappers from underneath those shacks in both turtle and bull. But they are probably any of those sizable fish, because this is the time of year when they stack up in there and get ready to head out there to head to the passes and the offshore on this next moon phase. So don't be surprised if you hook a 14-16 inch mangrove snapper back in there.
They're doing in a lot of the canals, and they were just up at Lashley Park, these big snappers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now I'm hearing about them in the canals a little closer. I think they're on their move to the Gulf.
Yeah, it usually takes place around that full moon in July, sometimes around that new moon, but they definitely start staging up out there, like spot that we're going to talk about next and everything else.
Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
Yep, some mangrove snappers staging up on that. Been some Spanish mackerel. I heard of a legal size gag that was caught off of there this week. It was 25 and a half inches. First legal one I've heard off of this year so far. And then there's also been some pretty decent sharks, bulls, black tips, a couple 4 and 5 foot hammerheads. Along with a couple of bigger lemons in that 6 to 7 foot range. So, kind of a good mixed little bag. You know, if you got family in this weekend, you want to go out and enjoy yourselves, that's where I'd probably be going to bend the rod on the little sharks.
And if you're trying to figure out what I'm typing, just look at the key next to the whatever letter is out of place, and it was probably meant to be that one.
Yeah.
Like, if it has an I and you can see the O is next to it, it's not gripper, it's grouper. So, all right, Gaspar Lassan, Tailing Flats, Fish, what are you laughing at me?
It could be a gripper, you never know. Or a ripper, it depends,
all. Right.
Well, the I and the O are next to each other. It's easy to, you know. Yeah, catch the sound.
There's a lot of snook over there between basically devilfish all the way over to catfish. They're mostly along the bushes and at the entrances of the creeks there, whiting and catfish. And then there's been some ladyfish.
You know, I never noticed that till just this moment. We have devilfish at the one end and catfish at the other end of Gaspilla Sound there.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. I mean, I've known it forever.
I've known it forever, but I mean, just actually, Robert said it, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we got catfish at the north end, and we get devilfish at the south end.
Yeah.
There's a sand fly.
Yeah.
In between.
I don't know why. It just did. I wonder if somebody did that, you know, devilfish and catfish, you know, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know why it struck me weird, but it did. It's just one of those oddball things that, really, after 40 years, it just seems like they kind of, okay, the devil here and the cat there or something. I don't know. All right, Gaspilla Sound again. What the hell were you saying?
Lots of snook. The snook are mostly up against the bushes and at the mouths of the creek. And then you've got a handful of redfish have been around there. There's even been some decent-sized redfish up inside catfish and wooden. And then the ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, all over on those flats. And especially if you get out to that over 3 foot of water mark, that seems to be where they're at more consistently. And then a handful of sharks, of course, just to mix it up a little bit more. The weird part is, still no tarpon over there, and usually this time of year the tarpon like to cruise that whole flat too at times. Man, I know you fished it over there before.
Oh yeah, that's the time,
especially around that clam lease area where
I think it's the
waters.
Same thing as that we haven't had the runoff yet, you know, we haven't had that push. Right. And I thought for sure we were going to get it that last moon, and it started raining. I thought, well, here we go, everything's going to go up 3-4 foot, you know, the rivers are really going to start running, and it kind of died out again.
And it really did, but you know.
Oh, did it start moving?
Oh yeah, it was up to 7.5 foot. We had a great flow coming down the river. Things were just starting to happen, and the rain stopped.
Yeah, shut.
All right.
There you go.
So everything you're thinking did happen. It just started and stopped.
Yeah.
It needs to keep going.
It's not. And that also cools that water down, you know, and it pushes it out a little bit too, because that river water when it meets up is a lot cooler.
Well, it is the first day.
Yeah.
But every day after that, it gets hotter and hotter.
But
it
keeps pushing it down.
Well, it's so brown. That's all right, fish. Okay. It's going to happen. Right. It just, you
it's
know,
my,
this is ancient technology. It's, you know, the microphones. We're lucky they're all working at this moment.
All
you
right.
Know,
we're good.
So, Little Gasparilla Pass, Placida Pier.
Little Gasparilla Pass has got some tarpon hanging out just on the inside, along with a few Spanish mackerel scattered all the way up to the trestles. Lots of big mangrove snapper, especially around the trestle. Getting a few reports of some ladyfish, small sharks of assorted flavors, and then the snook at night, along with a couple of big bull reds also being caught off there at night with the snook fishermen. So it's been pretty decent there. It's been a little bit buggy according to the one guy, but he said it wasn't as bad as he thought it was going to be, especially for this time of year. You know, and I think part of that has to do like with what you were just talking
rain.
About, the just enough rain to get them fired up, but not quite enough to make them unbearable.
Right.
Unless I'm out there, then it's a whole different ball game.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's just there. Oh God. Sorry. All right, I fixed it. It's just weird how many different fish become available. Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, what's going on up there? I mean, I'm getting real mixed reports from what I'm hearing.
That's what
one
I'm
guy
getting.
Is going, there's nothing here, there's no fish, and another guy's going, man, I was catching all these redfish, and you know, and it's just back and forth from really good to really horrible, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same reports I'm getting. The main good reports that I've been getting have been right there in the immediate vicinity of Stump Pass. Inside of Stump Pass, like Ski Alley and all those little islands around there, not as much. It's been a little quiet, but inside Stump Pass, snook, some decent jacks, an oddball big redfish, been some blue runners coming through there, a couple of nice-sized ladyfish, a couple of small sharks. I mean, you're kind of catching the mixed gamut through there. That's pretty consistent. Everything else through that whole area, I'm not getting anything consistent to say absolutely go here.
Yeah, the pier there on the by the Tom
Anger,
Adams.
The Anger Pier.
Yeah, the Anger Pier.
The Anger Pier and the Tom Adams Bridge both have got some snook on them and quite a few juvenile tarpon around them, especially at night and through the early morning right at sunrise. And then a handful of small sharks being caught off the pier, along with an occasional ladyfish and occasional Spanish. But overall, it got quiet this week for over there. Well, that report's coming from two different people, so it's been a little more hush than lately.
Okay, Venice jetties or Venice?
Snook. Snook are really, really doing well at the jetties. And that's mainly at sunset all the way through the night until first light in the morning. And then during the daytime, they're catching some decent mangrove snapper and a few Spanish mackerel. One guy got about a 6-foot bull shark fishing off there the other day, and he caught that on a pinfish while trying to catch some of those snook during the daytime. And then he saw some fish, what he believes were pompano cruising on the outside of the jetty along the beach side, but he couldn't get any of them to chew, so he wasn't 100% what he was looking at. He just said they looked wide in the silver and not jack-like.
Huh.
So that's the only thing that would make sense there. And then sharkies, I haven't heard anything about because I think that's still under construction for the next couple of months.
Is it true they quit? You can't fish for sharks at Sharky's Pier?
They've passed it through the commission, I believe, has voted on it, but now they got to make the official ranks of it to totally kill shark fishing off of Sharky's.
And I can honestly tell you, I always hate to see any laws. I hate the new shark laws. I hate the laws at Sharky's. And I hate all these new laws they're implementing because it's, you know, I told my daughter, you should fight and rail against the anti-smoking laws. Not because smoking's good or bad, but because it's one more thing the government is telling you to do.
Right.
And it should be up to the business owner, the restaurant owner, say no smoking. And if the business owner doesn't want you to do it, don't do it. But the other part of me understands that at Sharky's, you had guys up there would take 10, 15 rods and literally take up an entire side of the pier with just theirs and be belligerent, mean, and nasty to anybody else who tried to fish in that place, because this was their spot and their rods, and they were mean and horrible about it, and they'd have so many poles out that no one else could fish in a 30-foot space.
Right.
So when you behave like that and then they make laws like that, I rail against the laws because I don't want any more of that. We have so many stupid laws. You know, it's still illegal in Florida to pass gas on Thursday.
Right.
It is. You can actually get a ticket for it. You know, I mean, but we have enough laws to control every single aspect of our life. We have the biggest illusion of freedom in the world, but it's every year we lose less of it, and a lot of it has to do with just dumb behavior by people.
Absolutely.
So,
and that is a prime example there of, you know, because I'm with you, the more laws we have imposing against us and all that stuff, it gets to be a little ridiculous, but that's one of the very, very, very few exceptions that actually it makes sense.
Oh, no, a lot of the stuff makes sense, like seatbelt laws, but they were done for the insurance company because they didn't want to pay insurance claims.
Right.
So the insurance company says, well, they got to wear seatbelts, that way we don't have to pay money if somebody gets hurt. And even though, you know, I understand the law, and yes, it is safer and all that, it's still one more decision I'm not allowed to make.
Right.
And it's my life, my problem, you know, my stuff, but because the insurance company says, no, this is our problem, so they take away my choices, my rights, my decisions. And that's one of my problems with a lot of stuff. People think that enacting a rule or a law is a good thing because they like it, but they don't realize the next thing is something they don't like that somebody else likes, and then it just keeps compounding.
Sure.
And it's sad, but that's the way we're going. I don't like this, so I'm going to make a law against it. And you're not being safe.
Now, I've heard some, you know, people, and I get asked a lot on my boat about the the beach fishing and shark fishing.
Mm-hmm. But they extended those laws to you now. You have to carry bolt cutters. You have to carry circle hooks.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into it. Like I said, I've been off the water for 2 months, and I just started hearing about it. About time. No, I kind of got stepped out for a minute.
Even if you're on your boat and you have a 4 foot leader and a certain type of hook or whatever, you have to have the permit. You have to have bolt cutters. You mean that's not a land law. That is a law.
Oh, I got you.
All the way across.
Well, you know, a permit also for on the boat also.
Is if you're shark fishing with those leaders and stuff, I'm pretty sure you have to have the permit. Now, I'm not positive about that, but I'm pretty sure they just made it a law of shark fishing.
Blanket law across the board.
Because at the bottom of the page when I was reading it, and I got to go back and reread it, obviously, but it says this includes boats and whatever.
Look, and it's confusing to us. Can you imagine Joe that came from Michigan yesterday that wants to take his family fishing?
Yeah.
You know, we live it. And none of the three of us could tell you right now the exact thing. They tell you we can go read it real quick and give you our impression on it.
And that's what we have to do on a daily basis.
Because we can't just tell you. We don't even know. So I feel that's another thing. They got so much stuff. And Florida's the worst about, if you don't like it, it's like the weather. If you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes. Same thing with the law.
Yeah, they're going to change.
They're going to change the limit, the size limits, how many, the bag limits. They're going to do it every year. It's just
not a personal note, Phil. I missed you, buddy. I missed you. I haven't seen you in so long. I missed you. All right. Gulf of Mexico, reefs and wrecks.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, truly take advantage of the nice weather we've been having.
Yeah.
The 40 to 60 miles out, basically 110 to 160 feet of water. They've been getting some really nice red snapper. Some very good quality red grouper. Even I've seen some pictures of, I saw one this morning of a 39 inch gag and a separate gentleman with a 42 inch gag being caught out there, along with some nice scamps, some other porgies of different varieties, you know, champagne porgies and redheaded porgies, all that good stuff. Seeing a lot of guys catching some small dolphin, and not just the peanuts, like up to 20, 22 inch dolphin being caught out there. Few blackfin tuna. I mean, it's been some incredible feedback on
offshore
this year's red snapper season, you know, because we've had such stellar weather. I mean, well, these pictures these guys are showing me at 45, 50 miles out, I get seasick just from looking at the water sometimes, and this looks like water skiing material these guys are showing me at 60 miles out. It's like, wow.
Hotter than hell, but unbelievable.
And that's on a great note, you know, for people, you know, everybody likes to eat fish, and of course with the closures and what they've done, you can't really keep, you know, the snook, the red, and the trout right now. So if you can get on a boat, if you don't have a boat that can get offshore a little bit, this would be a great, I mean, it's hot. So if you get on a decent charter boat with a name, you know, you're going to limit out
literally
tons of things.
If you have a bay boat and you run out into the Gulf 10, 15 miles, 20 miles, you're not in any danger. There's no waves. There's no wind.
No.
Just watch the afternoon storms. Don't let the storms get between you and land.
That's it.
But as long as you're keeping an eye on the sky and, you know, you can literally look and go, okay, that looks black, I'm going in. But it's probably not going to happen until 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're probably going to want to be back. But great time to get in the Gulf. Absolutely
amazing. Find some structure.
And I had, you know how I teach people to use the little stuff and in the Gulf and out and that. I've had a couple people come back, and the blackfin tuna and the mahi down in the Keys, they were just wrecking them on my stuff. And they're just like, how the heck? I'm weird. What can I say? You know?
The blackfin, the tuna's been out here, has been really, that bite's been good.
Yeah.
That's been real good.
Yeah.
Besides the American lane and the snapper and the gags and the tuna's been really good. Now, I haven't heard, and I usually by this time have already heard, I think there's usually already a tournament or two, but I haven't heard anything about the Kings.
No, there's been some out there in that 40-mile mark, but
quite a ways.
Yeah, still deep, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what happened is I checked the water temp, and we're only like 2 degrees different than Pensacola. And that's something that happened a few years ago. So once that water temp kind of evens out along the coast, they start going deep. And they're not up at Pensacola. They could be here. They could be Sarasota. But they seem to scatter out, and they go out deep, and they're really out there in that 60, 80 feet of water where they can cool down, they'll come in, feed, and head back out.
Right.
And they're looking for that cooler water, but they got it. They are also going after food, and there's more food in shallow.
Sure.
So they'll come in, feed, and then go back out. So the passes.
I haven't heard anything. No, nobody's barely been ripping. We were talking about them, or, you know.
About 2 months ago, we had a real good king mackerel.
Did you?
Right about the time where everything went bad for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't.
All right. Boca Grande Pass.
Boca Grande Pass got a lot of snook in it, right along the beaches. Were very good quality snook, especially in the evenings, early mornings, along with a couple of big bull reds being caught. Been a handful of snapper, a couple sharks being caught from the beach, and then the tarpon are still in there sporadically. They've thinned out of there quite a bit, moved out to the beaches and up into the harbor, but definitely still some fishable numbers of them, along with the mangrove snapper that are moving out of the harbor, starting to flood through that pass a little bit more. A couple oddball Spanish mackerel, been some schools of little blue runners and jacks, and they're also right through the center channel out to the last can buoy marker, whatever you want to call it. So it's been pretty decent there, and it's almost a mirror image of that in Captiva Pass too.
Now, we have any reports? I've been and gone, so I'm kind of asking for the people. Is there have we had any reports of the triple tail there?
No,
none.
No.
There are some, but you literally be sitting there fishing for something, and a triple tail will swim by.
Gotcha.
It's not. I'm going to go out looking for triple tail,
it's
but you're anchored up, like grouper fishing, snapper fishing on one of the reefs, and a triple tail goes by.
Yeah.
Or you're in the pass, and you're tarpon fishing, and you look over, and there's a triple tail goes by. And it's one of those. Give me a little bit on Captiva.
Captiva's got some tarpon in it, some really big snook, handful of decent-sized sharks, along with some smaller sharks. Snapper bite's been pretty darn good down there, especially right outside that pass by that one channel marker buoy, whatever you want to call it, right there. Current's been ripping, so it's been really hard. It's been a pretty quick drift.
You hear how fast he talks? That's how fast I have to type, and people wonder why I make mistakes.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just, you know, in my defense.
Right.
17 straight. 17 straight.
I got nothing.
Okay. Anything fish?
Well, what about the, I didn't know where to jump in on the clam farms. Captiva? Captiva? Straight across from it? Clam farms?
The clam farms are up there by Devilfish.
No. Clam farms, Pine Island Sound.
Yeah, there are some down in Pine Island Sounds. We don't usually talk about them because, you know, somebody's livelihood over there. I even try and stay away from talking to the ones in, Bull Bay and outside of Bull Bay.
Right.
I used to talk about them a lot, and then the guys were getting their bags snagged by hooks and everything.
Sure. So the rocks on the outside of that.
Now the rocks are.
You know what I'm talking about? The white rock, whatever, down through there, but deeper, more towards Captiva than North Captiva. On the outside right there, a lot of mangrove snappers, the big ones. And same thing, they're migrating.
Right.
They're moving.
Well, that's always good to hear, and they're catching them on what, white bait and shrimp or?
I didn't know. I didn't get into that. I would imagine there's shrimp in it.
Okay. Yeah, that's usually.
Yeah, if I imagine there's shrimp in it, I'm probably using a cork.
Anything for redfish pass?
But no.
I got nothing.
We did 17th. How about Middle Beach?
Middle Beach has got the a lot of snook cruising along it. Most of them are small with an occasional bigger one. Been a couple of little jacks cruising through there. A couple guys at night have been walking and trying to catch some snook, and have even caught a couple of decent-sized redfish. Other than that, overall, I wouldn't say stellar, but definitely good.
Sanibel Captiva?
I've got Sanibel. The causeway has got the snook and the tarpon on it, mostly in the evenings and early mornings, but other than that, I haven't gotten a single report down there.
Anything fish?
Nothing. Nothing down that way.
Let's see. Anybody heard anything in Coosawhatchie?
Power plant has tarpon.
Power plant has tarpon?
Mm-hmm.
I've never fished up there. Frank and I have talked about it for years going down there and just never gone down there to do it.
Usually when the tarpon get there like that, you have the bigger snook on the docks.
Yeah,
you
won't, you know, by the trestle.
But just coming off of it. But it's one of those, these are the big girls.
Yeah.
You know, that are on the way back or on the way out, either which way. But if you go there, you're not you're not going to catch 25. You'll catch one or two, you know, and in a day's fishing, but they'll be over 40 inches.
Nice.
All right. One of my favorite thing up there was those big 3/4 and 1 ounce rattle traps. Let them drop almost to the bottom and just rip them back up and let it drop to the bottom and rip them back up. Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse, anywhere else?
I haven't gotten a ton of reports because D's been out of town, but the one and only good report I got from down there was there was quite a few redfish down there in the Indian Fields. You know, but other than that, it's...
Now, what I've saw probably 2 weeks ago or so, I had a fly fishing trip out, but a lot of that water's hot. And yeah. It's a lot of that poison, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, that, what it is
yellow.
The green slime algae, as it starts to die when the water gets hot, it floats up and looks like sewage on the water, yep. Smells like sewage.
A lot of that is in, Buzzard Bay and coming down through that side up towards Burnt Store. The inside is just, it's wrecked with that right now.
Right.
And that's due to no water. It's not flowing. Well, it's not moving through there.
It's a little bit better now because it always gets bad as soon as it gets hot. And then
that's when it dies off. It kills this natural occurrence.
Yeah, every year go through the same thing. Pine Island Sound.
Well, Pine Island Sound's been doing pretty darn good on a lot of snook up against the shoreline. I don't even know all the keys. I mean, Rat Key's one of them that I heard about. Is it bird key?
Rat, cat, bird.
Bird key.
They're all
but basically there. All those little tiny islands speckled through there along with Captiva Rocks has got some snook sitting on it. And then there's been a handful of mangrove snapper up in some of those deeper spots underneath the bushes. And then the right out against the ICW and some of those deeper potholes and stuff, they've been getting some Spanish mackerel. Quite a few sharks of assorted sizes and flavors, and there's been a lot of guys posting up and just anchoring and waiting for the tarpon to come to them because there's still quite a few fish coming through there in singles and doubles. So it's been pretty decent. You know, the water's got a little tiny touch of tan into it, but from what I hear, it's actually still got some pretty good visibility where they're seeing some of those tarpon, so the guys are sight casting to them also.
Dropping stuff. It's not like there isn't a pile of stuff stacked up on everything.
It's just trapped. You got little stuff everywhere just to...
Yeah, just to make everything seem crazy. I lost my mouse. Okay,
it's kind of like a little spider in the box. What's this? Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Spanish mackerel. Been a few ladyfish being caught there. Some guys are catching some bait, but not a lot. And then the whole end of Boquilla has got quite a few snook moving along the shoreline there, heading towards the passes, and a few fish actually... According to one gentleman, he said it looked like they came in from the pass because they were just their tails, their scales. They just looked like they had kind of been.
Now, what
out
kind
there.
Of fish was it?
Snook.
Snook.
Yeah,
they look like snakes.
He said several really big snook. Just he looked like they were post spawn fish because he said they looked like they had a good party over the weekend.
Skinny
yeah. And just a little rough looking.
I remember that look from the 70s.
Right. Doing that walk of shame.
Oh, I was a live one, but I don't want anybody to see me going, oh.
Where am I at? Oh, the sun's that direction. I got to at least walk that way. I know that much.
Yeah. I got to get moving.
What am I doing with my other boot? Burnt Store, Two Pines.
A lot of snook along that shoreline and around the two barrier islands there in front of Burnt Store. And then they've been getting a few redfish up underneath the bushes. There's closer to Two Pines. And then some pompano on the outside of the bar, just south of Burnt Store. Other than that, I haven't had any other critters that have been to speak of. You?
That's where I go out of most of the time. So about 95% of my trips are out of Burnt Store, so close. I don't stay there. There's always boats on the North and South Island. There's quite a few fish there that always eat. They're good fun. But
do
I always
do like I used to.
There.
I used to have this excellent snook spot about 20 feet from where I pick my customers up.
Yeah.
And I would go out fish.
That's the islands, both south and north.
But I would go, and I'd take them around, we'd fish all over, and depending what kind of day we had, if I didn't feel they were kind of getting their money's worth, I would stop right there about 20 feet from where I picked them up, catch a bunch of fish, and drop them off the dock.
That's what we use. Most of the guides come out of Burn Store, that's what we use it for, you know.
On the way in case you didn't do that well, that's the, you know, here you go, get a little excited.
Get action. Or if you got kids or things like that. But
right.
Again, on the inside, south, it's real murky. And then to the north there a little bit, it's the same way, just on that. Now, for some reason, it clears up around Pirate Harbor, and then it seems like north of that, you have a little section in there that's the same thing.
When you look at the way the water comes in on an incoming tide, believe it or not, because you have Ponderosa, Redfish, and Captiva, very little of the water from Boca Raton Pass goes south. Because the water from Captiva is trying to come, or from Ponderosa is trying to come north, Captiva is trying to come north, Redfish is trying to come in. So all that water is trying to come up in. So the water from Boca Raton Pass goes right in and kind of hits about Burnt Store, but actually the vast majority of it hits there but goes north up the east side. And as all that water's flowing up that east side, that's where the incoming tide water hits. Now, in the outgoing tide, you know, it pulls it back. Oh, yeah. But that from Alligator Creek to Pirate Harbor gets the vast majority of the incoming water from Boca Raton Pass. That's why it's clearer there than down further south. Because down by Two Pines up to Burnt Store, you're really getting that water coming up, you know, from Ponderosa and those other ones. That water's being pushed up in from there.
The pool's not as great there.
And you don't get as clear water.
But you also have a lot of creeks there, too, that dump out. And that's going to, when it rains, you know, you can see it. It's as clear as day.
But that's what I'm saying. It doesn't get the flush on the incoming tide that area north of there gets.
And that's what we need, a big old... Big hot moon.
You know what got me started on that was I was sitting in front of the Mayaca River one day, and I stopped there with the boat, and my prop wash was brown white. You know what I mean? You know how it is in the middle of summer. And we got done fishing. We caught a few sharks and stuff. And I said, okay, we got to go. And I fired the boat up, and I was in blue-green water. And I'm like, what the heck? I mean, it freaked me out because, I mean, literally when I stopped, the water was brown. And I go to leave, and I'm in literally beautiful gulf-looking blue-green water all the way up there at the Mayaca. So I started tracing it out, and I figured out the water does go up, goes up along the east side, but Punta Gorda sticks out so far, it deflects the water all the way right there to the mouth of the Mayaca River on the incoming tide. Because I couldn't figure out how it got there. So, and I've done some stuff with bobbers and drifting and, you know, but figuring out where the water goes and then just a little math and stuff. But literally that's why that water's cleaner up there.
Yep.
East side of the harbor where we're talking about?
There's tarpon cruising on the outside of the bar over there. I've heard of a few juveniles on the inside of the bar around some of those islands and little bays. And then a lot of smaller snook around all of those islands, kind of peppered around, along with a couple of redfish, and then the ladyfish, a few jacks, and an occasional cobia also on top of the bar, just on the outside of the bar. You know, it's been pretty decent over there, and like you're talking about, that water temperature and clarity makes all the difference in the world of making one a little bit more active than another. So the incoming tide seems to be a little bit more productive on that side, even though I'm not a big advocate of tides most of the time, as long as I have moving water, but that's one of those places in this time of year where it makes a big difference.
Well, this time of year, you really, if the best time to fish is if you have a early morning incoming tide.
Right.
Because if that tide starts coming in just before daylight, the water in the harbor isn't quite as hot, and it's bringing that cool salty water out of the Gulf, and it just explodes everything. And like you say, a couple months ago, we were, you know, December, January, we were talking about fish the outgoing tide in the afternoon because that's when the water's going to be the warmest, everything's more active. Every time of year has its best time and tides. Sometimes there's several months out of the year, it doesn't matter if you're fishing incoming or outgoing.
Right.
Then the spot determines if it's better incoming or outgoing, because some spots are better in, some's got better out. But the water's literally the same coming out of the harbor, going to the Gulf, or from the Gulf coming into the harbor. Same salinity, same basic temperature. You have those months. And then right now, it's all about the incoming tide. And the earlier in the day it is, the better it is.
Absolutely.
Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek Reef?
No, the creek.
Okay. Alligator Creek. Some jacks up inside there, especially going up to the Burnt Store Isles Meadows area. Still quite a few snooks scattered around in there. A few black drum. And a lot of smaller mangrove snapper. Some of the bigger snapper were kind of scattered last week, but this week getting some more reports of some smaller mangrove snapper through there. And that's about all I got, I think, back in there.
Same thing.
Ponce de Leon?
Ponce de Leon, black drum, mangrove snapper, handful of bigger snook cruising through there. Most of those fish are coming out from what I've been hearing. And then the jacks have been sporadically through there also.
Now, I was out there taking a walk the other day, and they have the part of that pier. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but part of that pier shut down that goes off into the mangroves there.
In the trail.
Yeah, in the trail back in there. It makes another loop, then you know where the part where you fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So half of that fishing part is closed. I don't know what they're doing. It look fine, but I don't know. Probably maintenance or something, but...
Well, I will say, if it was Charlotte County doing it, I'd be very suspect. But to be quite honest, because it's over there in Punta Gorda, why is it... Punta Gorda does beautiful job landscaping. They make a park. They put in a lot of parking. They don't reduce the number of cars that can be there. They actually expand on the number of cars that can be there.
They plant plants that can live and that are going to not turn into a giant weed that block views of...
Yeah.
Traffic or pedestrians.
You get across the river to this side, and you know if Parks and Recs is doing it, they've reduced the parking, made it more difficult to get in and get out, limited what you can do there, and put in plants that get water every day that still probably are not going to live. And it's...
Where's the old Frank I miss?
That's true, though.
But I'm not lying.
I know, exactly.
You tell me.
Palm trees along 41.
You look at what they did up at Edgewater Boat Ramp. Used to be a lot more parking. They planted a bunch of trees and stuff, so now your car and your boat aren't really visible, so it's easier for people to break in. They put a stuff in. It looks like crap.
Yeah.
It looks bad, and it's not... I mean, it was better before they messed with it. You can go site after site all around Charlotte County with that. You get into Punta Gorda, why can't they just hire the guy who does Punta Gorda?
Good, I don't know.
I mean, it would be so simple. He's right across the bridge. Call him up and say, hey, can you come do some stuff over here?
Guy, give me some ideas.
Yeah, give us a clue.
We need a consultant over here.
Yeah, oh, God. All right, PGI canals.
Still quite a few snook in there. Most of them have thinned out on the larger fish, but there's still enough in there that are getting people excited. Lots and lots of black drum. Still the occasional redfish that guys are catching with those black drum. And then the juvenile tarpon scattered everywhere throughout there, especially towards the mouths of the canals. But there's a couple key spots back in there where guys are seeing 20, 30 of them in a half a mile stretch of canal system. And actually catching a few, but majority of what I'm hearing about are being caught while trolling.
I put on the website the Punta Gorda Nature Park. It's a really cool little park over there that's on a big section of canal way back in there where there should be tarpon. And Alex found it for me.
I'm trying to think and where that's at.
It's off Rio Villa.
Okay.
And it's a really pretty park. And you walk back to the pier, and there's a nice little pier back there. Big open section of canal. Really nice.
This is a great time of year to fly fish Punta Gorda canals, which you're doing for tarpon.
Yeah.
They loved eating the flies on this kind of heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're pretty active throughout the whole day, but especially the early mornings. But, I mean,
you can mornings are the best, yeah.
But you can pretty much target them just about any time coming or going if you live in there.
I'm actually thinking I might end up having to get back into a little bit of flies. I don't.
No. Please.
Yeah, I know. But I'm getting so much requests for it.
I know.
Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest, still a couple of sharks being caught off of there, and then they've actually caught a few small jacks along the seawall this week. Other than that, pretty quiet. Yeah, but... kind of neat. Roles have reversed. We used to get a lot of reports for Bayshore with the small sharks and even bigger sharks, and this year it's been very wonky and quiet, but Gilcrest now is kind of lit up this year. It's kind of neat.
Huh.
Just a little different role reversal. Used to be one of the best spots in town for cobia.
Yeah. Yep. Back in the 80s, people fished there all the time and up through the early 90s. Alligator Creek Reef.
Still a few Spanish mackerel lingering around. The mangrove snapper has been there also, but the spade fish have started to move in there much better numbers. I've had quite a few guys this week asking about spade fish there and how to catch them. Other than that, nothing else. Never heard about the tarpon or Goliath Jewfish, none of that. That should all be happening, but I haven't heard anything, so.
No, I haven't heard anything.
All right. The deep holes in the harbor?
Tarpon. Tarpon are scattered in them in pretty good numbers. You just got to find the one hole where it's better numbers.
Huh, the one they're eating at.
Yeah.
Which diner are they eating at today?
There's been a couple of cobia mixed in with the bunch, a few Spanish mackerel. Plenty of catfish mixed in with all those thread fins and small white bait that's out there. There's been some good tarpon sized threadies out there, and then smaller threadies and white bait kind of throughout those whole all those holes. But the catfish definitely know it's there.
Yeah.
Guys have been trolling bait busters here and catching at least one or two sail cats.
Oh yeah.
Along with their tarpon.
All right. Freshwater, what do we got?
Freshwater, it's still pretty much the Northport canals. A couple of the Port Charlotte canals have been doing okay, especially over there off of 9 Mile or around 9 Mile Canal. The last really good report though I got was at those lakes over there off of Placida Road in the Rotunda area. You know, they've gotten a little bit more rain off and on, and the guy was fishing the culvert pipes, and he was actually using. He couldn't get any shiners last week because we were out of them, so he bought one of those Savage bluegill and hooked two fish on that, and then he got snagged and broke it off, so he caught a couple bluegill right there on the spot and started using them, which is legal to do as long as you don't transport them. If you use them in the same body of water, you can use the bluegill for bait. But he was torn whether he wanted to take some home to eat them or use them for bait.
I had a report about 30 minutes ago, snook and cecil web. That's the fresh water I got.
Big snook and cecil web.
That's all I got, fresh water.
Nice. I like it. That was good. Johnny on the spot there.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
Okay. All right. Give me just a second here. I'm about ready to wrap it up. I just got to bring this up. And come on. Pretend your computer for me, will you please? Right, come on. Okay. It's, I don't know why, but the computer has just been super slow here lately. Alright, Robert, tarpon maps, and we are doing red dots. Where is the best tarpon fishing?
Red dots is where they're most plentiful and most best chance of finding them.
And we're talking about big tarpon, not the little juveniles.
Yeah, yeah, we don't.
How's Boca Grand Pass?
Boca Grand Pass, honestly, I'm going to give that more of the other dot. The
yellow?
Yeah.
50-50?
Yeah.
Alright, I'll put a red and a yellow there. Alright, where's your red dot stuff?
On the beaches from Knapp's Point all the way up towards Venice.
Okay.
And then I would say even along, because I mean I've had some pretty decent reports there from Captiva up to Boca Grande on the inside on the ICW there. You know, enough where I'd say that's a pretty consistent shot. Not even a 50-50. I mean, if you want to avoid some of the traffic but don't mind boat traffic going by you, those fish are much less pressured, but same numbers. And then the 20-foot holes, very, very, very good. The last report yesterday, the guy actually found them in the morning in the Pirate Harbor hole, but when he's coming back in the afternoon, he found them smack on the middle west side of the upper 20-foot hole.
And that's the reports I'm getting, too, that are, they're not going tarpon fishing. They're going fishing.
Yeah.
And they're running around, and they kind of, you know, when they see them, they fish. Yeah, they stumble, and there's really no rhyme or reason. 3 to 5 miles out, anywhere from Captiva up to Little Gasparilla, that little zone out there, you can find your Spanish mackerel you can find. I mean, just all just ladyfish, bluefish, the jacks, and the tarpon, they're all kind of lingering around. But to go out there and try to set it, you know, to look for them in there.
Right.
It's kind of, it's like looking for a needle in the haystack, although you go a mile, you know, going to up the beach or something, and you run in, and it's just like,
I had to travel a reef, and oh, wait a minute.
And they also are turning on and turning off, so you pop up, and you see some ladyfish frying or something, and you go over there, and you start messing with those, and then something happens over here, and you kind of domino effect. But just to go out and say, okay, this is where we're at, this is what we're going to do, that's a tough game.
All right,
there.
Where's the 50-50 chances?
The 41 Bridge and El Jobin.
Are that nighttime good or 50-50 daytime?
I'd say 50-50 daytime.
Okay.
I haven't had a lot of guys fishing there at night. Most of them have been early mornings.
Well, day dark, so.
Yeah.
All right. What do I do at Matt Lachey?
At Matt Lachey, I haven't gotten any reports down there.
Any of the bridges in the close Anchi?
Sanibel. Sanibel's been more the nighttime and early mornings.
Okay.
And what do you say about the Caloosahatchee? That's all daytime?
I'd say that.
With the power plant?
Oh, yeah. Up there, around there, it's all been early mornings. But boating early mornings, picking up clients early mornings. So, 7, 8, you know, a couple hours there before it gets really burning.
All right. And now we're just in the wrap-up. And let's see. So, anything you guys want to add to this or not add? Or
want to add two things. One is I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend and were safe. And then I wanted to give a special thanks to everybody in the military who make this Independence Day actually worthwhile. You know, they're amazing. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to have this day to celebrate.
I actually watched Trump's speech. Absolutely. On, the Independence Day. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. I mean, all the way from, like, the Revolutionary War to modern times. And the one guy, he quoted some guy from World War II who said, they got us surrounded again. Those poor bastards, or something like that. I mean, it was like, okay, they surrounded us again, so now we're going to kill them all again. I mean, he had some really unusual quotes. It was actually kind of interesting. I was getting into the history aspect of it.
Well, you're a big-time history buff, so that's always awesome when anyone brings up that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wasn't, the helicopters and the planes flying over, it was kind of cool, but I've seen a plane before. But I was really into the history that he did on that.
That's pretty cool.
Started watching it just to see, because with him, you never know what the hell's going to happen or what he's going to say. So I was watching it just to see, and then, I really got kind of lost in the history. I enjoyed that a lot.
That's pretty cool.
So, but that was everything about, all the different militaries, and they played their theme songs. The one I feel bad for is the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
You know, the Navy's is anchors away, right? And then the Air Force, up we go into the wild blue yonder, all these cool songs, and, the caissons go rolling along. And then this poor Coast Guard song, man, there is nothing about that. I mean, it's just like, all right, then I'm going to forget that in 30 seconds. I never heard the Coast Guard song. Now I know why.
I have never heard it myself.
I was like, oh, man, those poor Coasties, they work hard. Somebody's got to write a Coast Guard song for them.
Need a better writer.
Yeah. Bring them over to Palagora, let them revise them.
Yeah, because the poor Coast Guard band. Everybody else is a pretty cool, the Marines got a great anthem, and they got to the Coast Guard, and they started out with that, and I thought, man, I never heard the Coast Guard anthem. There's a reason. It's, pretty bad. All right, so anything else we need to go over on this or do or whatever?
Not really. Get out early. Watch these afternoon thunderstorms. The next several days are calling for that pattern to start shifting around, where we're going to have some unusual thunderstorms and some pretty good frog chokers from what they're saying. So pay attention to that, like you said. Try not to get stuck between land and
a storm. Don't let the storm get between you and where you're going.
Yeah. A lot of water. Drink a lot of water.
Glad to have you back, buddy.
Thank you. I'm going again.
So you're back out doing charters and everything.
Back out.
You want to say your phone number?
Starting Monday. I'm back at it. It's Fishbone Charters, 941-628-4687.
All right. Well, I'm Fishing Frank, and that's Robert in the chair across from me, and that's Captain Tom Fisher, otherwise known as Fish. I wonder how that happened. So, anyway, we'll catch you on the next Fishing Report or one of the other shows. We seem to be doing a bunch of them. Hopefully, we're going to have a lot in a show for every day pretty soon. Bye.